This story is about time and memories. The time was 1965, a different kind of year, a watershed year when one era was ending in America and another was beginning. We felt it then, in the many ways our lives changed so suddenly, so dramatically. And looking back on it from a quarter century gone, we are left in no doubt. It was the year America decided to directly intervene in the Byzantine affairs of obscure and distant Vietnam. It was the year we went to war. In the broad, traditional sense, that we who went to war was all of us, all Americans, though in truth, at that time, the larger majority had little knowledge of, less interest in, and no great concern with what was beginning so far away. So this story is about the smaller, more tightly focused we of that sentence. The first American combat troops who boarded World War II-era troop ships sailed to that little-known place and fought the first major battle of a conflict that would drag on for 10 long years and come as near to destroying America as it did to destroying Vietnam. The Yia Drong campaign was to the Vietnam War what the terrible Spanish Civil War of the 1930s was to World War II, a dress rehearsal, the place where new tactics, techniques, and weapons were tested, perfected, and validated. In the Yia Drong, both sides claimed victory, and both sides drew lessons, some of them dangerously deceptive, which echoed and resonated throughout the decade of bloody fighting and bitter sacrifice that was to come. This is about what we did, what we saw, what we suffered in a 34-day campaign in the Yia Drong Valley of the Central Highlands of South Vietnam in November 1965, when we were young and confident and patriotic, and our countrymen knew little and cared less about our sacrifices. Another war story, you say? Not exactly. For on the more important levels, this is a love story, told in our own words and by our own actions. We were the children of the 1950s, and we went where we were sent because we loved our country. We were draftees, most of us, but we were proud of the opportunity to serve that country, just as our fathers had served in World War II and our older brothers in Korea. We were members of an elite experimental combat division trained in the new art of air mobile warfare at the behest of President John F. Kennedy. Just before we shipped out to Vietnam, the Army handed us the colors of the historic 1st Cavalry Division, and we all proudly sewed on the big yellow and black shoulder patches with a horse head silhouette. We went to war because our country asked us to go, because our new president, Lyndon B. Johnson, ordered us to go, but more importantly, because we saw it as our duty to go. That is one kind of love. Another, and far more transcendent love, came to us unbidden on the battlefields, as it does on every battlefield, in every war man has ever fought. We discovered in that depressing, hellish place, where death was our constant companion, that we loved each other. We killed for each other, we died for each other, and we wept for each other. And in time, we came to love each other as brothers. In battle, our world shrank to the man on our left and the man on our right and the enemy all around. We held each other's lives in our hands, and we learned to share our fears, our hopes, our dreams as readily as we shared what little else good came our way. We were the children of the 1950s and John F. Kennedy's young stalwarts of the early 1960s. He told the world that Americans would pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship in the defense of freedom. We were the down payment on that costly contract, but the man who signed it was not there when we fulfilled his promise. John F. Kennedy waited for us on a hill in Arlington National Cemetery. And in time, we came by the thousands to fill those slopes with our white marble markers and to ask on the murmur of the wind if that was truly the future he had envisioned for us.